Welcome to another edition of the Health First Show. I'm your host, Dave Fuller, and today, surprise, surprise, we're going to be talking about stress, and it appears that 75 to 90% of all visits to physicians are related to a psychological illness. They're stress-related. And our first guest, Dr. Marita, is going to be telling us more about that and what we can do to really relieve our stress and not have so many doctor's visits, hopefully. The second guest, Dr. Paris Kidd, will be talking about inflammation and some of the things you can do to reduce inflammation and reduce your pain. But before we do that, here's Alan with the health news.
The companionship of a dog may lower a child's anxiety levels, a new study suggests. The researchers looked at almost 650 children aged 18 months and older who were screened for anxiety. Of those children, 58% had a dog at home. Only 12% of children with dogs tested positive for anxiety, compared to 21% of those without dogs, the researchers at Bassett Medical Center in Cooperstown, New York, found. The study was published recently in the journal Preventing Chronic Disease. Having a dog may reduce a child's anxiety, particularly social and separation anxieties, in a number of ways, such as by triggering conversations and helping break the ice with new people, the researchers suggested. However, the study did not prove a cause and effect link between dogs and lower anxiety levels in children. Flexibility exercises should be part of your regular workouts, an expert says. Effective fitness programs should include cardiovascular training, strength building, and flexibility exercises, but the flexibility component is often overlooked, according to the American Academy of Orthopedic Surgeons. In a news release, orthopedic surgeon Dr. Raymond Rocco Monto of Nantucket, Massachusetts, said increasing your flexibility improves your ability to move easily. Some joints lose up to 50% of motion as we age. There are many ways to improve your joint flexibility, including controlled stretches held for 10 to 30 seconds, stretches that rely on reflexes to produce deeper flexibility, as well as yoga and Pilates. Every Thanksgiving, lots of people loosen their belts and reach for antacids to quell an overstuffed tummy. But for some, Turkey Day is just another day of severe or persistent heartburn, and that chronic digestive problem may be a sign of a condition called gastroesophageal reflux disease, or GERD, an expert says. In GERD, the contents of the stomach repeatedly flow back into the esophagus. This causes symptoms such as chronic heartburn, regurgitation, difficulty swallowing, sore throat, and morning hoarseness, explained Nancy Norton, president and founder of the International Foundation for Functional Gastrointestinal Disorders. In a news release, Norton said, the symptoms of GERD can seem so common that many people do not consult with healthcare providers or mention them during routine exams. People who live with constant road noise may face a higher risk of developing depression, researchers say. The risk was about 25% higher for people living in areas with a lot of traffic compared to those living in areas with little road noise. However, the risk was largely confined to those who were poor, unemployed, had limited education, smoked, or had insomnia, the German study authors found. Lead researcher Esther Urban of the Center for Urban Epidemiology at University Hospital Essen said, although we can't say for sure, it has been thought that noise causes stress and annoyance. If this noise persists over a long time and is constant and loud, it may contribute to depression. Urban cautioned that these findings only show that road noise is associated with depression, not that it causes depression. The research was published online November 25th in the journal Environmental Health Perspectives.
Well, thanks for that, Alan. Our first guest, Dr. Marita Show, is a graduate from the Canadian College of Naturopathic Medicine. She's written a number of books, including The Adrenal Stress Connection, and is an expert in this area. Dr. Marita, welcome to the show.
Hi, Dave. Thanks so much.
Well, you know, I was listening to those health news before the show started, and it seemed like, you know, three or four of them were related to stress and anxiety. And I'm wondering how prevalent is stress and anxiety. And, you know, I talked in the introduction about, you know, that the information you sent me said that between 75 to 90% of all visits to physicians are related are stress related. What is causing this stress? And, you know, what are the factors that causes stress, you know, the stressors for people? And why is it seem like it's even more prevalent than it was 20, 30 years ago, even 10 years ago?
I know, those are, you know, really great questions. And, you know, I see it firsthand in clinical practice. And I remember even, you know, when I was in my first 2 years of practicing, you know, people would come in and I feel like they would be able to deal with their stress a lot better. But you're right, I feel like, you know, in the last last little while, just recently, I've been in clinical practice now for over 10 years, is that I've definitely seen it rise with my patients as well. And I think there's a number of reasons for that. I think, you know, we're constantly go, go, go. You know, a lot of us are attached to cell phones or computers, or, you know, we have sedentary lifestyles because we've got desk jobs. You know, there's a lot of responsibilities, whether it's work stress or family stress. I think our food and our environment's changed a lot. So I think we're being bombarded with a lot of chemicals from the environment, you know, pesticides, plastics, additives, household cleaners. So I think there's just a lot more that the body has to deal with and to adapt to. And that's where it comes down to, you know, keeping our adrenal glands and our whole stress response as healthy and as supported as possible. And I think over time that whole system, the body's ability to adapt, just becomes greatly reduced. And I find a lot of times people are coming into my practice just really running on empty, right? They just have drained like all of their reserves, and they're just not feeling as vital anymore, right? Either their sleep's being affected, or they're in chronic inflammation, or they're getting sick all the time, getting colds or flus. So it's, you know, you're right. It's having a huge impact on the number of doctor's visits that people are going in with.
So you see these people, you see people coming into your clinic, you know, with sleep issues. You said they're, you know, they're getting sick more often, you know, inflammation. What are the first signs that people notice that, how stress is affecting them? Is it just that they're irritated, they're edgy? Agitated?
I mean, they could be. They could. I see a lot of patients, both men and women, that are coming in with more anxiety. That was one thing that you mentioned just at the beginning, anxiety. And, you know, I'm seeing anxiety in a lot younger population as well. You know, I'm seeing anxiety in children that I didn't see a whole lot of when I just came out of naturopathic school 10 years ago. So, you know, again, I think possibly that has a lot to do with the electromagnetic radiation that we're getting from, you know, being constantly plugged into electronic devices, especially with kids. But, yeah, I mean, anxiety, depression are signs that the adrenals might need some support. I often have specifically a lot of women that come in that just say, you know, I used to be able to multitask. I used to be able to handle a lot, and I feel easily overwhelmed. Sleep's a big one as well, and just fatigue, just not having that kind of vitality that, you know, people know that, you know, that it can exist, and they just notice, okay, you know what, I just don't have the drive, I don't have the motivation, I just don't have that energy that I used to. And often they'll notice it, but it happens kind of, you know, over the years, they'll start noticing that it just kind of, like, the tank just keeps draining.
Is it that society's changed and is expecting us to multitask, you know, whereas before we'd go out, work in the field or milk the cows or, you know, or you know, chop wood or do those things where we were getting two things done, you know, we were getting some physical exercise and we were just focusing on the one task. We weren't worrying about, you know, chopping the wood and our phone going off or, you know, a Facebook message or, you know, what our friends are doing.
Yeah, no, I mean, I completely agree with that. I think there are, you know, the whole social media, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, you know, we are constantly, you know, wanting to check our emails and things like that. And, you know, so that's why one thing that I really focus with my patients on is, you know, finding that balance, right? It's not like, you know, giving up on the whole electronic world, but you know, make sure that you're taking the time, whether it's meditation or yoga or, you know, going for a walk out in nature, you know, don't take your phone with you, right? You don't need, you know, nobody's going to need to get a hold of you for an hour if you're, you know, you're going out for a walk or you're taking your dog for a walk or even just visiting with friends and family. You know, it's so often now you go to a coffee shop and everyone's, you know, a lot of people are talking. You know, a lot of times people are on their phones or computers or messaging that way. So yeah, I do think there's definitely expectations. I think it's just the way that the world is going right now. And so it's really trying to, you know, break old habits and make sure that, you know, you're supporting that stress response, especially if you're in, you know, quite stressful jobs. Like I feel I treat a lot of nurses, I treat a lot of police officers or paramedics that, you know, that's just the nature of their job. You know, they're constantly firing that fight or flight response. So they need to pay even closer attention to supporting the adrenal glands and that stress response. But yeah, I think it's just a matter of like taking it, you know, slow and taking the time to breathe and finding, you know, your outlets to really help you reduce that stress response too. And I always talk to my patients about perception. You know, how you perceive stress is really important as well.
Dr. Marita, you talked about a number of things and you talked about taking it slow and, you know, breathing. And we take it for granted, I think. You know, a couple of weeks ago, we had a fellow that wrote a book called The Mindful Home. Mm-hmm. And it was a book about, you know, just being present in your home and taking the time to, you know, to enjoy what you have and spending that time. What happens to people, you know, when they start focusing on one thing at a time instead of multitasking, focusing on one thing at a time and breathing more, what happens from a medical point of view?
Yeah, and you know what, that's a great I'm sure your that show is still recorded, so I should listen to that show, and it'd probably be great for a lot of my patients to listen to that too, just to be more present in the moment, because I think that's so important for supporting, you know, the stress response as well. But what happens is you know, when you really take the time to slow down and do some deep breathing or exercise, you really, really focus on calming that nervous system down. And most of our stress hormones, for example, you know, most of the listeners have probably heard of adrenaline, so getting that sort of adrenaline rush. And another one of our hallmark stress hormones is called cortisol. Now, you know, all these hormones are very important for helping us adapt to certain situations. They are essential for us to live. But what happens is when we're in chronic stress, a lot of times those stress hormones are released in too high of amounts. And especially when it comes to things like cortisol, if you're releasing too high cortisol when you're chronically stressed, it starts, you know, affecting other hormone pathways. For example, it'll start affecting the production of your melatonin, which is very important for sleeping. It will also deplete your levels of serotonin, which is a very important hormone for your mood, your happy hormone. So essentially, when you're really taking the time to unwind and, you know, do your deep breathing or your yoga or your stretching, you know, what happens is a lot of times those cortisol levels, you can really, really come down into normal range, and then there's less likely for the high cortisol to be affecting those other pathways, and then the body can really rebalance itself and really focus on producing adequate and healthy levels of serotonin and melatonin and, you know, increasing your immune response, so helping you fight bacteria and viruses, helping your body heal inflammation. So everything starts going back into normal ranges when you've really modulated those cortisol levels. And actually, it was interesting. I read a really interesting article on, it was called Forest Bathing. And they did this study where they took really busy Japanese business men from Tokyo. And they took them out into the countryside of Japan. And they did the study where they had them every day. They'd take them out there and they'd have them walk through the forest for, you know, 20 to 30 minutes. And they did before and after measurements of like cortisol and heart rate and blood pressure and all that. And of course, you know, being in downtown Tokyo business, high stress, high pace. But they found actually just by doing, you know, a little bit of deep breathing and just being out in nature 15, 20 minutes a day, that it really made a big difference with how their immune system responded. Like their immune cells were a lot more increased, their stress hormones decreased, their blood pressure normalized, their heart rate normalized. And yeah, I mean, of course, this probably for the listener, it's like, okay, yeah, it's common sense, but we just take these things for granted. And I think spending more time, you know, out in nature or, you know, spending time with yourself and doing deep breathing and meditation is so important for the stress response, as well as obviously nutritional and diet support is important as well.
We're talking about We're talking about stress, we're talking about anxiety, and we're talking with Dr. Marina Show. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to be finding out more about what you can do to really make a difference in your life.